Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Richard Gage. And Richard is an architect who leads the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and we're going to be talking about what happened on September 11th. You know, it's very difficult for a lot of people to believe that we have not been told the truth about what happened on September 11th, 2001, but the difficulty is government officials often lie to the American people. They certainly lied to the American people about the story of Pat Tillman. They lied to the American people about what happened with the Gulf of Tonkin incident. They sent 58,000 Americans to fight and bleed and suffer and die in a no-win war in Vietnam. And then we find out that the Gulf of Tonkin never occurred, and even Robert McNamara admitted that. So why should we be surprised if perhaps there are people who are lying to us about what happened on September 11th. And believe me, if you work for government, you don't dare tell the truth. You'll go to Leavenworth or maybe even worse. And there have been some people who've died under very mysterious circumstances. I know one or another aspects of the investigation, I know a number of people who've had their lives threatened because, of course, they've spoken out against what happened on September 11th. And who would do that, and why would they do that if there's nothing to conceal? Well, Richard is on the front lines of the battle. And Richard, thanks very much for being with us tonight. Richard, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
It's so good to be with you once again, Stan. Thank you for having me.
And basically, that DVD that you have with Ed Asner, I think that is one of the finest means of convincing people of what really happened. Would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about that? Because I think it's so vitally important that I talked to a lady today, and she just said, I don't know how to convince people. I've only got a couple of minutes with them, and they are firmly convinced. In fact, one of her relatives has told her that when they build buildings, they always build them so that if they do collapse, why, they won't fall to one side or the other. They'll collapse into their own shadow. And she said, I mean, how can I convince them? You don't build buildings so they've collapsed, they're going to collapse symmetrically. But you go ahead. Do you want to tell our listeners about Ed Asner and that wonderful YouTube that you have out there?
You bet. I'm glad you liked this. It turns out that about half a million people so far in the last month and a half have really gotten a lot of mileage out of it on YouTube. And people can go to YouTube and just search. At youtube.com, search for AE911 Truth, Ed Asner, WTC7, or go to our website, and the left side of the website is this 15-minute documentary. And our website, by the way, is AE911truth.org. And we put this together as a result of having interviewed 43 technical experts from among our petition signers, now numbering over 1,600, calling for a new investigation of the destruction of all three World Trade Center high-rises. And so we made this documentary about the third worst structural failure in modern history, World Trade Center 7, because when people see this, and especially when they see it with this new 15-minute documentary, which is really rather well done, It has production value. It has a story. It has music. It has Ed Asner, who is quite a professional and an exciting voice.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Richard, go right ahead.
Yes, this This 15-minute documentary with Ed Asner makes it so clear to everybody. I hear.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
YouTube. Ed Asner, Building 7, and you'll have it come up and watch it, and there's just no question. This is a controlled demolition. You have to understand with a controlled demolition on a building like this, the first thing you do is take out the central supports. Why do you take out the central supports? Well, so the walls will fall inward, and so you'll see the center of the roof collapse first. That's the first thing that happens. And then as the center of the roof begins to collapse downward, forming a V, and then the base of the building is destroyed, and the building comes down, falling at free speed. And of course, you can see that this is how you do a controlled demolition. They should have many pictures. And certainly there is no way that this building came down because it had a few small fires in it. Apparently the firemen had been pulled early on because they were told the building was coming down. And certainly Richard points out that several of the networks announced that the building had come down before it came down. So how could that have happened? Well, because it was common knowledge, Building 7 was going to come down. And Building 7 was controlled demolition, and they lied to us about that. Why, they lied to us about everything. So, Richard, do you think more and more people are beginning to suspect that we've been lied to about this?
Yes, it's clear. We're getting more activity on our website, more questions, more radio interviews. I think people are waking up around the country. It is still very difficult, of course, to penetrate mainstream media because it seems to be censored, unfortunately. There seems to be a lockdown on this story. Of course, it's the story of the century. If Building 7 was a controlled demolition, and almost everybody agrees with it who actually looks at the evidence. And by the way, that is true for the Twin Towers also. Everybody who, we start with Building 7, and then people look at the evidence for the Twin Towers, which instead of an implosion is a very explosive event. And people who look at this agree with us, and most of them sign our petition. I mean, totally, we have over, I think, 14,000 petition signers now. It's growing rather strong. 1,600 of them are architects and engineers. But relative to the Twin Towers, we're talking about a 4-ton perimeter wall unit, for instance. These massive heavy steel sections ejected laterally out of the towers after 4 seconds of the top imploding itself. We then have this extraordinary bands of explosions that are hurling these wall sections at 70 miles an hour, instant speed, out of the side of the towers laterally and landing up to 600 feet away. Remember, gravity works down. We're told this is a pancaking gravity collapse. We would expect to find something like 110 floors packed up in some bad shape at the bottom, but we don't find any of them in the photos or video. We see a two-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns, and the like. Where is all this massive 90,000 tons of concrete in the flooring and 220 acres of metal decking? It is missing. But it's not really missing. It's in the dust. This incredible powdered concrete blanket, 4 to 12 inches thick throughout lower Manhattan, in it we find 30% of it, according to USGS, is comprised of powdered concrete like the fineness of talcum powder. There's also metal filing in all the World Trade Center dust. There's also previously molten metal iron microsphere, molten iron microsphere, which is extraordinary because this is very well documented by the USGS and R.J. Lee, an environmental firm. That means these spheres, which comprise up to 6% of the dust in certain areas, has been exceeded temperatures of 2,800 degrees, the melting point of iron. Well, why is that important? Because jet fuel in office fires can only generate about half those temperatures. So what was responsible for creating those incredible temperatures, which are also documented by the first responders, the structural engineers, the cleanup workers, who find pools of molten iron underneath all three buildings, and even Leslie Roberts in the World Trade Center structural engineer himself finds a river of molten steel, as he calls it. Well, it turns out to be molten iron. Once again, molten iron it should not be found in any of these. And molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And the evidence of thermite is actually documented in the debris pile in World Trade Center 7 as intergranular melting on a couple of pieces of steel that they actually saved and analyzed. The rest of it was sent to China for recycling before the report came out in May of 2002, believe it or not, the illegal destruction of evidence. But in these pieces that they saved, they look like Swiss cheese, completely corroded with this hot liquid molten iron eutectic, they call it. And this is, again, evidence of temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees, as is the molten lava, molten concrete, which the police museum houses, because it wrapped itself around the police weapons, and that's evidence of 3,000 degree temperatures melting concrete. So we have some real evidence in the World Trade Center debris that is indicative of something that is very, very different. Is what we've told.
Well, there is no statute of limitation on murder. And it's my contention that someone, I'm not saying who was responsible, but someone murdered those people, and they were not killed as a result of the planes hitting the building. No question that planes were there. The planes hit the building, but that doesn't explain the collapse of the buildings. And of course, the problem is that most people, I say planes hit buildings, buildings collapse, and ergo, the planes cause the collapse. But one of the big things is, of course, we're told it was a superincumbent weight of the upper stories of the Twin Towers that drove the rest of the buildings down. But if you very carefully watch the collapse of the buildings, you'll see the tops of the buildings, that is the area above the point of impact of the planes, they simply dissolve, they disappear. It's almost like they're vaporized as the plane, or before the rest of the building begins to collapse or collapses very far. In other words, how could you possibly vaporize or destroy the upper parts of the building? In fact, one of them actually started to tip and fall off, didn't it, before it was vaporized?
Yeah, and I don't like to use that term, because what we're seeing in the above the point of jet plane impact in each of these two twin towers is a miniature controlled demolition, if you will. It looks very much like Building 7. In the case of the North Tower, the top portion is telescoping down on itself. It looks like it's disappearing, yes. But what's happening is the structure is being taken out in bands of explosions, just like the first responders described, over 150 of them, are documented in the oral history. This came out in August of 2005 in a lawsuit. We finally got to hear what they were saying. Pop, 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 all the way around the building. We talked about flashes of light, explosions at the onset of destruction of both of these towers. And so we have that eyewitness testimony as well to add to the evidence. And this first part, we're told that this upper part of the North Tower drives the rest of the building down to the ground, but we see it, in fact, collapsing in on itself and accelerating in on itself straight down through what was the path of greatest resistance. I mean, there was 80,000 tons of structural steel in this building, five times stronger than it needs to be, but it goes down virtually symmetrically and at almost free-fall acceleration, in the case of the Twin Towers, straight down, suddenly, smoothly, symmetrically almost, and at almost free-fall speed, indicating, because it's getting faster and faster, straight down through all that steel had to have been compromised, and that's what we see in the evidence of these bands of explosion. So in the first 4 seconds, the upper part is destroyed.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there in the audience, you have a question for Richard Gage, who is an architect. Now, Richard, some people say, well, but you know, basically when they design buildings, they design them so that they'll self-destruct, you know, if they start to fall. Is there any basis for that when you design a building, you're going to build this big building, you design into it things so make it so it will fall and won't tilt to one side when it collapses?
You will not find a structural engineer or an architect to back that statement up, and I think that's quite telling.
But the thing is that this is repeated over and over again, sometimes on talk radio and television. And I mean, there's no basis for it. I mean, who would think about building a building with a built-in plan that when it collapses, why it'll collapse into its own shadow? Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. When you control the media and you repeat it often enough, people will certainly believe it. And I've heard this same statement made over and over again, you know, on talk radio. Oh, well, they always build into the buildings, you know, so when it comes down, it'll collapse on itself. But Richard, as an architect, has built major buildings, will tell you this is so ridiculous. But our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, give us a call. But there's no statute of limitations on murder. Well, Richard, certainly I think that it's amazing. Now, what do you have, about 1,400 architects and engineers who've signed your petition?
1,600 now. It's just growing and growing.
I mean, I would...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It led to the invasion of Iraq. I mean, the American people didn't want to go into a war on September 10th, 2001. The last thing the average American wanted was another war. And yet, of course, by the 12th of September, most people were ready to go to war. We had to do something. We had to retaliate against the people who were responsible, and of course the government had no idea this was coming, no idea who was involved. But the day after the attack, they had the names, they had all the information on the attack, and They basically had the pictures of the people who were involved. How would they have no idea who the people were or what they were doing? And yet the following day, well, they knew who all of the people were. And of course, if you go up on the internet, you'll find about six of those people who died that day, six of the 19 hijackers, are alive and well over there in the Middle East, and they're living over there. But just go to your search engine and type in six 9/11 hijackers living in Middle East today, something like that, and you'll find that this is true. And they've talked to their families, and they've interviewed them. But they certainly, when this is brought up to government officials, they don't certainly counter that. They simply ignore what is said, and they just change the subject. How could you possibly explain people dying, you know, in the fiery crashes and then surviving and being alive and well over in the Middle East? Doesn't make any sense. In fact, if you read, you go to my website, read Christian Breitweiser's testimony. It's one of my newsletters. Just type in Radio Liberty, Christian Breitweiser, Breitweiser. We have her testimony there before Congress, and she points out that they were actually listening to the telephone conversations of three of the terrorists 2 weeks before the attack. And as she points out, if you had no idea the attack was coming, if you had no idea who was involved in the attack, how could you possibly be monitoring their telephone conversations a couple of weeks beforehand? I mean, and nobody wants to address that subject. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-2295. If you have a question for Richard, but Richard's on the front lines of this battle, and he's doing a great job of getting the information out. His DVDs are excellent. I think that the short one he has on, certainly with Ed Asner, and Building 7 Coming Down would be a must for everyone to see it. He's already had a 500,000 people see it. I think every American should see that. And if you have a relative who has any questions, and most of them will, they don't want to believe the truth. But they must believe the truth because, of course, right now we're preparing to go to a war with the Muslim world. This is what all the revolts over there are all about. And certainly we must warn the American people. We must try to get them to think, or else we're going to be plunged into a war with the Muslim world, and I fear, I really sincerely fear, that we will not escape without serious harm to our nation this time if we are involved in another war with a group of people that make up almost a billion people throughout the world. We do not want to go to war with the Muslim world, but that is what's being prepared, and it all started on September 11th. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And we're going to go to a young lady who's calling us from Yakima. We have another gentleman who's calling us from Michigan, and we'll be back here in just a moment as soon as they pass Sandy from Yakima through to us. So if we can get to Sandy, but Sandy, Richard, it took you, what, about 4 or 5 years before you finally realized that there was something wrong with the official story?
Well, that's embarrassing, Stan.
No, don't be embarrassed. I've been at this for 50 years. It took me 2 years before I finally had to admit that I was completely wrong.
Yes. Well, when on 9/11, I was watching these towers come down in shock in my bedroom getting ready for work. And I'm seeing a very explosive event shaped like mushroom clouds, and yet I'm being told that this is a gravitational collapse due to structural weakening by fire. You know, pretty quickly that story came out. We've never seen a collapse of a high-rise before. You know, it's never happened. Fire's never brought down any high-rise due to fire. It just never happened. It can't happen for a whole number of reasons. But there it was happening. We didn't know what to...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
This is an important issue. It doesn't matter whether who is flying the plane, how they hit. What you have to do is deal with the issue. Did those buildings come down because they were hit by planes and there was a fire, or were they some sort of a controlled demolition? It's very obvious they were controlled demolition for several reasons. First of all, because there were explosions in them that would take large pieces of steel and throw them laterally for 600 feet. Certainly that had nothing to do with simply a pancake collapse, as we're told what happened. Secondly, the vaporization of the cement or explosion of the cement. Thirdly, the thermite particles in there, the Paris particles in the dust, and the fact that certainly literally everything in the building, including a 1,000 body, just disappeared. They were vaporized. That is the issue. So don't let them get you off on side issues. They'll try to do that all the time, Sandy.
Yes, right.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's fine. Thank you so much.
God bless. Okay, fine. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Richard, before we go on, I want you to get your website out one more time and so people will know how to get to your website and get your information.
Sure, and people can watch the DVD, which is 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, right there on our website. We lay out all the evidence. It's AE911truth.org. That stands for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's AE911truth.org.
All right, fine. Well, let's quickly go to Jack here. Jack, do you have a question for us?
Yes, Dan, I do in a couple statements.
No, not, just a question, please, because we have other people waiting. If you have a question, please go ahead.
Sure, okay. Jesse Ventura and Judy Wood were interviewed, and Ventura has a hard time believing it was only nanothermite because of...
Well, do you have a question? Do you have a question for Richard?
Well, let me finish, Dan.
I know, but Jack, you want to get off on a long dissertation. Do you have a question?
Really? A long dissertation?
Yep. Thank you so much for calling, and let's get on to Bill, calling from Washington State. Bill, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to know if the guest, what he thinks about the fact that the money was wired to the person that's currently on the commission for investigating 9/11. The I believe his name is Goss. And
I'm sorry, what are you talking about? The money was wired to
Muhammad Atta wired the
you got money. It backwards.
The ISI wired the money to Muhammad Atta. And
I think you're talking about the gentleman, the president, pardon me, the director of the ISI, a man named Mahmoud Ahmad, General Mahmoud Ahmad.
Yes, right.
He had wired money to Muhammad Atta a week or two before. Okay, anything else?
So he was sitting, they were sitting with the head of the person investigating this entire thing.
Yeah, well, what was the question?
I don't know. I guess I don't really have a question.
Okay, fine. Well, basically, for our listeners out there, what Bill is in Washington State is talking about is the fact that there were basically stories, and they've been confirmed from a number of sources, that this General Mahmoud Ahmad, I believe is his name, he was anyway the head of the ISI, had actually supposedly wired some $100,000 to Muhammad Atta a couple of weeks before the attack. But anyway... this is not an issue having to do with the destruction of the Twin Towers. What we're talking about is the Twin Towers actually coming down and what you can actually see if you watch the DVD. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Locally, that's 464-8295. But what you must understand is this was a watershed event for America. America will never be the same after that. And the American people must understand that we have not been told the truth. And certainly we could get off into what happened at Shanksville, where, of course, the plane, one of the planes, Flight 93, I think it was, supposedly just crashed into the ground there after we're told they... passengers organized, and they were going to take on the hijackers. But if you look at the pictures, there wasn't any wreckage where the plane supposedly crashed directly into the ground. The debris field was over a distance of 8 miles. But you get off onto all these other subjects and what happened to the Pentagon. There's too much information. What we have to do, of course, is simply... consider what happened with the Twin Towers and what happened with Building Number 7. I think that's really where you spend most of your time, certainly focusing your attention, isn't it, Richard?
It is, and the reason is because the evidence is so clear to almost everybody who looks at it, they end up agreeing with us. We speak in 23 countries and 32 American cities. The group's 100 to 700 large in attendance, and we do a show of hands before and after. And of those who are skeptical of our position coming in, almost all of them are in agreement with us or have at least moved off their former position to being in a state of unsure because it is that clear, this evidence.
And I think it's so vitally important that you just get the DVD and watch it. And certainly you can watch it on the Internet. We actually carry the initial DVD that Richard put out. We think it's very important and that you watch it and get other people to watch those buildings come down. Well, let's go to Ed, who's calling us from New York. Hi, Ed. Where are you calling us from? Upstate New York?
That's right. WJIV.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Yeah, I saw one picture of the plane hitting one of the buildings, and it was way off askew.
Right, you're talking
to one side.
That was the south building. That was the south tower.
How would the fuel ever get into the building and into the middle of the building to bring that down right into its own footprint?
You're talking about the one where we see this massive explosion outside and the fire shooting out. Do you have any thoughts at all about that, Richard?
Yeah, I think most all the fuel burned up outside the building, and the rest was gone in 10 minutes, according to the official story. And so what we're told is after that, it's a normal office fire. The jet fuel simply lighted up the contents of the building, and, of course, the plane damaged some columns. In the case of the South Tower, mostly the corner core columns. And so how the building could have fallen almost straight down is unbelievable, given the asymmetrical damage from the plane and the asymmetrical loading from this top portion, which was tilting 22 degrees off center. How could it drive the rest of the building down at any speed, much less symmetrically? And we show that quite clearly in our DVD. And that's the point at which a lot of people go, aha, and especially when they see those explosions going off rapidly down the corner as fast, in some cases, as the racing down the corner of the building as fast as the free-falling debris almost falling next to it. And then these explosions going off 20, 40, 60 stories down below this zone of destruction. These are pulverized building materials at 100 to 200 feet per second being expelled out of the building, well down below the zone of destruction. So we're told these are puffs of air by this, produced by this piston, if you will, this upper part of the building, driving the rest of it down. But that has been destroyed, as we talked about, in the first 4 seconds. So there's no piston pushing air down through the building at all after that. So it's very clear what's going on here to anybody with an open mind.
And if you watch those pictures of the Twin Towers coming down very carefully, why, of course, most of the pictures do not show the top of the South Tower tilting about 22 degrees. I've seen pictures of it, but the ones that they show you on television are designed to control your reality, so they don't show you that. But if you see the other pictures, you realize, yes, the top started to fall off, the top part of the building started to fall, and then it suddenly just, well, it was destroyed by explosives. I call it what you will, vaporized, call it the series of explosions and destruction. But as you're watching it, suddenly it's destroyed and then suddenly swallowed up in this cloud of smoke or suddenly of pulverized dust. But suddenly if this is simply a pancake suddenly collapse, where do you get all this pulverized cement? I mean, but cement doesn't ordinarily pulverize like that, does it, Richard, without explosives?
No, it doesn't. And the evidence of such explosives, by the way, are also found in the dust samples. Four samples taken by this international team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen find small red-gray chips, about a 16th of an inch large, the biggest ones, and this is incredible because the red side is composed of iron oxide and aluminum powders that are the elements, the particles of which are about 1,000 times smaller than the human hair diameter. This is nanoscale particles, and they're intimately mixed and in the perfect percentage to become what? Thermite. That's what thermite's composed of, iron oxide and aluminum powder. And so this is nano thermite. It is called super thermite. It was created before 9/11 by the Los Alamos and Lawrence Livermore laboratories and by NIST, as a matter of fact, who had a hand in it. This should have been the first thing they looked for, given that no high rise has ever come down due to fire and that any high rise that has come down due to controlled demolition. And they look exactly like controlled demolitions as we compare them. So given the findings in the dust and the molten iron microspheres, the pools of molten metal, all of which point to thermite,
an explosive nature. Thermite is an incendiary, but it can be designed to be explosive with this nanothermite scale. So these are basically explosives we're talking about. It should have been the first, if not the only, hypothesis that NIST looked at. But they steered the investigation away from this hypothesis from the very beginning and have been defending it feebly ever since.
Well, Ed, do you have any other questions or comments you'd like to make before we let you go?
Well, the thing that I was wondering is how could you tell the difference between steel and iron? I mean, you made a statement that it wasn't steel, but that it was iron.
Well, that's what the first responders called it. They called it steel, but tests by scientists and by FEMA, their investigators, determine that it's a liquid eutectic iron. Iron is used in steel. It's the primary ingredient. But this is elemental iron. It is not steel. It doesn't have the alloys of steel.
It's attacked
with iron and sulfur, molten iron and sulfur attacking the steel. And they're very clear about this. Others have determined that it's iron too. USGS and R.J. Lee, these are iron microspheres. It's a good question. Where does this iron come from? It's not from the steel. We don't use iron in steel structures for a long, long, long time, 100 years or so. Where did it come from? Okay, iron is the basic ingredient of thermite, that incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter, along with the aluminum powder. The iron oxide mixes in a violent reaction, creating molten iron at 4,500 degrees. And this is what happens when they put these small red-gray chips that they found in the dust. They put it in a heater, and at about 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, they explode, basically. It's more of an igniting. And when they do, they produce what? Small iron microspheres that have the exact same chemical makeup of those that were found in the World Trade Center dust by the USGS and R.J. Lee. So it's a consistent set of data that supports itself toward the hypothesis of, explosives in the dust.
And I think it's such an important point, but people confuse the fact that these were steel buildings with the fact that they found iron there. Well, the only way they could find iron is that the thermite used. In other words, this was something that had been placed there. The essential element of thermite is iron and aluminum oxide. Anything else, Ed?
Well, there must have been other buildings that have been brought down the same way. Were they examined the same way as far as the results?
Not quite sure what you mean. We do have some buildings brought down by thermite. In fact, this was documented by Popular Mechanics, no less, the magazine which has been paid by the Hearst Corporation to so-called debunk the 9/11 truth evidence. They don't even touch it, unfortunately. But, thermite can be used. There are patented devices designed for thermite that are much more effective, in fact, in cutting through heavy steel structures than high-energy explosives like C4 or RDX. And why wouldn't they have used the less expensive C4 and RDX, which are traditional in the controlled demolition industry? Well, they produce very loud bangs, very bright flashes. You wouldn't want to use those, have those characteristics if you're trying to provide a deceptive controlled demolition and blame the collapses on fire.
I think one of the most interesting things, Ed, is if you were to go to Stephanie Richards' website and watch the Building 7 come down, this film with Ed Asner, and you'll see the comparison between a controlled demolition and the destruction of Building 7. And they're identical. They come down exactly the same way, and they have them both on the same screen. Not one, but a number of different controlled demolitions. They're all the same. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Ed. Again, our numbers.
Thank you very much. It was very explanatory.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we've got James calling from South Carolina. James, you have a question.
have a question about the bodies. I've always been told there are about over 1,000 bodies that were never recovered. And I've mentioned this to several of my friends, and they say, well, that's obviously because of the fall of the buildings. I would like to suggest you have 9/11 coroners for 9/11 Truth. Is that a possibility? Could you explain why this is not possible, why it is that the fall of the buildings could not have destroyed
the buildings' bodies would be smashed, they would be squished, but they would not be simply no evidence of them at all. I mean, suddenly you can get run over by a steamroller, but you're still there. Anything else you want to say, James?
Yeah. That's all. I think coroners for 9/11 Truth would be a good thing.
All right, thank fine. You. Well, maybe you may have to organize it. Because I don't...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and if you're in a position to help us, why, of course, we'll certainly appreciate it, and we need to sustain the 65 outlets we have every single week, and we picked up a new station just this last week in Las Vegas, and we'll be heard there. And then, of course, we certainly want to remind you about the fact that we're holding a all-day conference. It's going to be on the 23rd of October. The 23rd of October, and Sydney, it's going to start. We're going to open the doors. It's about 7:30 in the morning. We'll start the program at 8:30. We're going to go through to 5:30 or 6. I think you'll find this fascinating. And there is just so much information that you will have there. And, of course, we'll have all of our books and DVDs and certainly our four tape sets and our four CD sets. And so will our speakers. They'll have access to tables. And we will want you to get the information. And actually, we're bringing in a new photographer. A fellow's going to be doing the videos. And hopefully, you'll be able to get the videos of the programs on the very day we have of the presentation. It's vitally important that you have the information and you help us to get it out across America. We're going to be talking about geoengineering of the atmosphere. Why? Because they're poisoning the atmosphere with aluminum and with barium, and it's getting into the soil, it's getting into the food, it's getting into the trees, it's getting into the water, and it's going to poison billions of people, and they know exactly what they're doing. We're going to have Betty Martini there, and Betty Martini is going to be talking about aspartame. Why is that important? Because they're poisoning the people. They specifically target the children with aspartame. They put this poison, and it is a poison, it's an excitotoxin, and it leads to pathological obesity, it destroys fertility, it leads to certainly attention deficit orders, it leads to certainly thyroid dysfunction, it actually affects the mind, it's carcinogenic, it affects the endocrine system, produces autoimmune disease. They put that in the chewing gum for children, children's medicines, certainly children's formulas. They know what they're doing. They're destroying the lives of our children. And you'll certainly want to hear Betty Martini, the world's leading expert, on this. And there's all sorts of scientific studies on it that you will never hear mentioned by the controlled media. You need first to get the information and help us to get it out. And that's why we put these programs on. And we do certainly hope that you'll get the information and then help us disseminate it across America. But you have to be familiar enough to talk about it. And of course, this is what we're really doing. We're trying to educate you and others about what's going on today. Because behind what's going on today is simply organized evil. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on really does make sense. People say, why would rational people want to hurt a child? Why would rational people want to suddenly poison billions of people? Well, why do you think that they are switching us over to GMO foods when they know that they're toxic and they know that they affect reproduction and we know that they affect the endocrine system and the livers and the kidneys? Why would they transfer our food supply from something which ordinarily is healthy into a pesticide? And in every kernel of corn and soybeans and cottonseed oil and the other things that they've genetically modified, they put pesticides in there, and we actually ingest those pesticides. Why would they do that? Because they have a different worldview. They think there are too many people in the world, and you need to get the information. The enemy is not in Beijing. The enemy is right here in America, and you've got to help us get the information out. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who is formerly the senior editor for the New American Magazine. He's working with Republic Magazine now, and certainly he's a prolific writer and certainly one of our best voices for the conservative cause, championing the conservative cause here in America. He also writes the Radio Liberty newsletter, or has in the past, and we hope he'll continue. William, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure and a privilege to be with you.
Telling me what we going to be talking about this evening.
Just in the last two or three days, we've seen two really dramatic escalations in the Homeland Security theater paradigm, if you will, this manufactured pseudo-reality having to do with so-called war on terror that I think are bookends of the same narrative. The first was the exposure of yet another prefabricated terrorist plot in which the FBI talent scouted a young and somewhat susceptible young man from Massachusetts physics graduate, somebody who had a background in applied sciences, who was of a Muslim religion, and was somewhat pliant when he was approached by people with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, who have this large and ever-expanding troop of bit players and provocateurs. And he was lured into taking part in yet another one of these elaborate Rube Goldberg-like pseudo-plots that the FBI provides for public amusement and distraction from time to time. He was accused specifically of plotting to use model airplanes as drones to attack the Pentagon. And this is a patent repetition of what the FBI has been doing for 6 or 7 years or longer, which is the modified and amplified COINTELPRO type of gambit. COINTELPRO, of course, began in the 1950s under the late and largely unlamented J. Edgar Hoover, and it was the use of informants, provocateurs, dirty tricks, black propaganda, and other means to target, isolate, and to neutralize, where necessary, destroy groups that were seen as a threat to the power structure, whether you're talking about the radical left or the so-called radical right.
Well, now, basically, did this young man go along? Was he talked into going along with this idea of using model airplanes? Okay, so he agreed he'd be part of this program suggested by an agent provocateur to attack this massive Pentagon with a model airplane with explosives. Go ahead.
Exactly. And then just this morning we got the news that Anwar al-Awlaki, who is a New Mexican-born American citizen of Yemeni descent, who had been invited to the Pentagon a number of months after 9/11, was considered something of a voice of moderation, if you will, within the American Muslim community. At one point, he hosted, on behalf of the Washington Post, a live internet chat to discuss the meaning of Muslim holidays and so forth. He was assassinated, as was another American citizen, by an actual killer drone operated by the CIA over Yemen just within the last day or so. So you have this pseudoplot involving model aircraft used as attack drones. Then you have the actual thing, in which American citizens were assassinated by presidential order without so much as a whisper of a hint of constitutional or legal legitimacy. And I think those two developments bookend what Homeland Security Theater is all about. They preposition the narrative by accusing the enemy of doing exactly what they're planning to do in the immediate future.
I see. Well, because they justify what happened by saying, well, these are the enemies of America. They certainly, we're encouraging this Fort Hood officer to kill all those people? But, you know, the thing is, how did they know that the Alawaki, whatever his name was encouraging this major who had killed some people there at Fort Hood? How did they know that had taken place unless they were actually monitoring the conversations between the officer and this American living over in Yemen? If they knew this was taking place, why didn't they try to stop it is the question I would like to know.
Yeah, and that would suggest that somebody, and probably a number of people with a somewhat privileged position, would be at the very least accessories to the crime. It's important to point out that Anita Hassan, who is accused of attacking Fort Hood, approached the cleric. It wasn't a case of the cleric approaching him, but he approached the cleric. And after the fact, Alaki conferred his benediction on what was, of course, a horrible crime, where you have a member of the U.S. military fragging other members of the U.S. military and what has to be considered, of course, an act of premeditated murder. There's no way of dignifying or beatifying that. You can't consider that to be some kind of a valiant anti-imperial strike, or anti-imperial strike, rather. That's simply cold-blooded premeditated murder for ideological reasons. The ideological reasons, once examined, do have some merit. I mean, this guy was upset by the foreign policy of the United States. Don't express that resentment or that frustration by murdering people. That's simply not the way that you go about it. That's the sort of thing that the COINTEL paradigm is meant to encourage. The idea is that you would create an internal opposition, control it, and turn it against itself. And I don't know to what extent Anwar al-Awlaki, who was taken out, as they like to say, by a drone strike, with the cooperation of the absolutely hideous government of Saleh, the dictator who rules Yemen, who's just a perfectly horrid and despicable human being. This is a guy who actually was willing to take the responsibility for drone strikes that had killed innocent people in his country in order to run interference for Washington. That's the kind of government that you're dealing with here in Yemen. And that, of course, is the kind of a government that's going to rile up and inspire domestic opposition, which is something that Saleh was encouraging. He was encouraging people to rise up against a government under which no human being should be forced to live. But that does not, for that reason, make him an enemy or certainly a threat to the United States. He was accused of having some complicity in the Abdul Talib attempted bombing over Detroit a couple of Christmases ago. And what is interesting about that is that there was another American asset who seemed to have been distantly connected to that, and that was David Headley, who was a former DEA and, it is believed, CIA asset who would help to plan and carry out...
Hold that thought. Well, there's a Dr. Stan, and suddenly when he was talking about fact that this gentleman who was recently assassinated in Yemen certainly was affiliated in one way or another with Mr. David Headley. Now, that name may not mean a lot to our listeners, but Headley, of course, was an American who was working for our government. He was a DEA agent, undercover agent. He was also certainly one of the people who was actually gone to India and had scouted out that attack there where I think 150 people were killed. And supposedly he was doing it for the people in Pakistan. But he was an American agent, was over there. Now, he can say, well, I wasn't working for the American government at that time. But anyway, of course, he was actually had worked for the American government, and he is the one who scouted out the parameters of this attack. And, well, how many people were killed? Was it 50 or 150? It was a terribly bloody slaughter.
Four, the figure that I've seen reported, and I don't think we've ever been able to nail down with any specificity the precise body count, but it was horrible.
Right,
it
go
was
ahead.
November of 2009, if memory serves, and it was just shortly after that that you had this mysterious incident in which this individual who was supposedly radicalized by Anwar al-Awlaki was stuck on a plane and was allowed to jump the queue by a number of people who appeared to be of East Indian or subcontinental descent, and he was protected and sheltered and shuttled aboard this plane. And there are all kinds of anomalies and oddities that have been noticed by a number of people who are on that flight.
You're talking about the underwear bomber.
Yeah,
the fellow who had the underwear bomb on, but of course it was designed not to go, not to detonate.
Exactly.
How would you possibly build a bomb? You know, and you're going to take out a major airliner that doesn't detonate. Well, I suspect it was designed by the same people who built the shoe bombs for Richard Reed.
That,
of course, they were designed not to explode, but not to fail to explode, and because you can't detonate a C4 explosive simply with a fuse, you have to have blasting caps. Probably the same people who taught the smoke bomber, the fellow who actually built the smoke bomb that was placed in Times Square in New York. He goes all the way, this kid goes all the way to Pakistan to learn how to make a bomb, and they teach him how to make a bomb, a smoke bomb. And he takes and gets a car and gets all the components and takes this and parks it on in Times Square. And what happens? It begins to smoke.
Sure.
But they did not teach him how to make a real bomb any more than they put a real bomb on the underwear bomber or on Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. But so much of this is all political theater.
And
when are the American people going to wake up that reality is usually scoffed at? Illusion is usually king. Go right ahead.
I think that the theater metaphor is singularly apt here because the effort, of course, is to use what was referred to in the 19th century as the propaganda of the deed. And often the people who use that expression would not scruple at blowing up large numbers of people when necessary to make their point. In the case of what the government that rules us is doing, all that's necessary is to plant in the minds of the public at large the occasional suggestion that we are continually under siege, and for that reason we cannot relent or relax any of the extraordinary powers which have been arrogated to the executive branch after 9/11.
Well, they want us to be fearful. People
who
are fearful cannot think clearly.
Exactly.
So there's always a threat. There's a new threat every week or 2 weeks. And, oh, my goodness, you know, when are we're all going to get blown up. The economy is going to collapse, you know. The comet is going to hit America. A comet is going to hit the Earth, Sydney. or, of course, the terrorist bomber is going to come here, you know. But the terrorist bomber seldom, if ever, appears. And basically, if they really wanted to have terrorist attacks on America, our borders are completely open. Anybody could come in with explosives. They could start fires in our forests. They could derail our planes. They could take a bomb into a football game or into a major mall. And isn't it amazing that after 10 long years, we've never had hardly any of these things happen in the United States. The only things we really happen are the agent provocateurs when the FBI agents go out and talk some poor and not very, very smart Muslim individual into agreeing to go along with an FBI-financed terrorist attack. Well, what about maybe an Al-Qaeda-financed terrorist attack? I mean, don't they have any money? Well, they really don't have an awful lot.
No.
They're financed by the Pakistani intelligence. It's financed by the CIA. Because, right? In fact, in Libya, why Al-Qaeda, who we're helping, we're financing Al-Qaeda in Libya. And but wait a minute, I thought we were at war with Libya. I mean, there was war with them in Afghanistan, and then there are allies in Libya. And most people just can't get this through their minds that it is all a mirage. But go right ahead.
That's exactly right. When you're talking about what's going on in Libya in particular, there is a bright line connection between the United States government, the military, and CIA, and Al-Qaeda. Abdel Hakim al-Hasidi, who is the leader of the chief rebel faction, has freely admitted on the record and unflinchingly that there are people from Al-Qaeda, and they're a little bit difficult to find because there's only a handful of them in the world, but they are involved on the side of the rebels whom the federal government is seeking to install as the government of Libya through this NATO and UN consecrated bombing campaign and invasion. And you've got a situation here where some of the people who are the cadres who are fighting on behalf of the rebels in Libya had actually gotten their battlefield training by fighting against U.S. personnel in Iraq. So they've got people who have actually engaged in hostilities with Americans who were sent to Iraq, purportedly to defend our freedom, who are being supported now with airstrikes, material assistance, and heaven only knows what other kind of help to take over the government of Libya, because it'd be seen as pliant and useful for that purpose. And so you've got a tangible connection here between the policy of the Obama regime and the policy of the Bush regime before it and Al-Qaeda. And on the other hand, you've got Anwar al-Awlaki, who is living in Yemen and taking part in what has to be considered a nationalistic uprising against a client state of the United States government and the dictatorship there under Saleh, who's been accused on the basis of nothing substantial or specific of being involved with Al-Qaeda. His family ardently denies it. His family had actually filed a legal injunction trying to get the Obama administration to state the legal authority they would use to carry out the execution of Anwar al-Awlaki, who is a United States citizen, and irrespective of where he lives on the face of the earth, he is somebody who, or he was somebody in any case. He's now, of course, gone on to whatever reward awaited him. But while he was among the living as a United States citizen, certainly he was somebody who was covered by the protections and immunities of the Bill of Rights and the gravamen of the due process clause is that the government cannot simply execute somebody without some semblance of due process. It doesn't matter who that person is or where that person has come from. For that matter, it really doesn't matter whether or not he's a United States citizen. Anywhere on the face of the planet, the United States government asserts its supposed authority. It's bound by the Constitution. The question isn't who the person is or what he's accused of doing. The question is what the government is permitted to do by the Constitution.
But you see, William, we don't abide by the Constitution. Actually, I have a four-tape set. I hope people want to get a four-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. I interview two CIA-trained and paid assassins. One of them, Sidney, is a friend of ours. He was asked to kill an American lieutenant commander, a military officer who had some information the government didn't want to get out. And basically, of course, we've seen time and time and time again where they've actually killed American citizens for political purposes. Certainly the jury that heard the trial of a man named Jowers, who was involved with the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
The jury that heard the case said the government was involved with the murder of Martin Luther King. Certainly, there's no question that somebody was involved with the murder of Bobby Kennedy. He was not shot by Saran. We have a great deal of information on that. There's no question. I think most people realize that the government was behind the assassination, or somebody was behind the assassination of Jack Kennedy, and the government covered that up. Certainly, we have a constitution. All of these are cases of murder, but the murderers are never held responsible. We have a constitution. Isn't it a shame that nobody insists that we enforce it and that there is equality under the law? But you see, some people are above the law, and they can decree that somebody will be murdered, and they can actually have anyone murdered that they want to, as long as it's done with government consent.
The thing that you're underscoring here, Dr. Stan, is that we've had what Garrett Garrett, paraphrasing Aristotle, calls a revolution within the form. And he was talking about the fact that during the late imperial phase, actually not even the late imperial phase, really during the Augustinian Revolution under Caesar Augustus, Rome really was transmuted. I don't think that this is the right expression, because you're talking about turning something that was precious into base metal. So it was reverse transmutation from being a republic into an empire, but they retained the Senate. They kept the forms of the republic. The 10 and 12 tablets of the law were still accessible, and they were still the subject of lip service, but the nature of the government was changed to where the Senate became an appendage of the imperial will. And within a couple of generations, you had Caligula actually proclaim himself to be divine while he was still among the living. And the same sort of thing has happened, as he wrote, Garrett Garrett, back 61 years ago. We're not looking down the road at a revolution that's approaching us. The revolution's already behind us. We've already crossed the metaphorical Rubicon, and although we have a constitution, for all the benefit that doesn't, it might as well be a Bazooka Joe comic strip, because it has about that much legal weight and authority in terms of restraining what the government does.
Well, what we need is for the people to understand the Constitution and the people to get involved and reclaim our freedom, because people who do not understand freedom do not understand the source of their freedom. If we're not willing to stand and fight for their freedom, they will certainly lose it. And if we don't do something soon, freedom will simply become a remembrance of things past. William, go right ahead.
On the subject of...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
To save American lives, you kill them, but we have a system of government, we have a system of laws by which you can do not simply go around killing people simply because the government says that he is guilty. He is an American citizen. He is not an enemy combatant. He's an American citizen. He may be guilty of treason, but he's entitled to a trial. And if you don't think that we could get in there and we could certainly put out a reward or capture this man, but obviously we were not trying to. We knew where he was. We knew exactly where he was. And we simply killed him and a couple of other people and how many people we killed. But we don't seem to be concerned how many people we kill. We don't seem to be concerned by the constraints of law. After all, when you're at war with terrorism, but you don't go to war with terrorism.
No.
It's a technique. And this man is guilty of a crime, then he should be apprehended, he should be charged, and he should certainly be convicted. And there are ways of doing that. And certainly the idea of if the Constitution, there's a place there where Congress can issue a letter of mark. In other words, you mark this man and you set in a group and they capture him and they bring him back for trial. Nobody ever talks about that. Oh, no, we're just going to go ahead and murder them. But if they can murder him Why, of course, they're justified in killing anybody they want to. And, of course, if you get our Forest tape set on deadly assassins, you'll find out we have training schools for assassination in the United States. And we utilize those people to kill American citizens who have never had a trial. Most of them simply have never committed a crime. It's simply they have information that the government doesn't want to get out. Go right ahead, William.
Yes, that's exactly right. And this all, of course, is an outgrowth of this grotesque aggrandizement of executive power, and it is similar in many uncanny ways to what happened once again in the 1930s in Germany. And this was the outgrowth of this horrible constitution that the Weimar Republic was saddled with that permitted the executive to suspend the constitution. This had been done a couple of times in the early 1920s in order to target various private or quasi-private militias of various political orientations. The Free Corps, of course, which sort of distilled out of veterans groups, was battling communist street gangs for control of various parts of Germany. In the context of that struggle, you had exceptional expressions of executive power that involved suspension of certain elements of the Weimar Constitution in order to facilitate, among other things, gun control and gun grabs. Gun control, of course, is more accurately referred to as civilian disarmament, but that was something that was happening before Hitler. But that provision in the Weimar Constitution was seen as innocuous as long as you're dealing with people who are rational and somewhat measured in terms of the way that they would use it. They'd use it sparingly, and they would make moderate use of it once that provision was invoked. Well, along came Adolf Hitler, and along came a parliament that was frightened into providing him with plenary authority to do as he saw fit under color of what they were pleased to call law. That was their enabling act. Well, the AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force after 9/11, was our enabling act. Everything that has been done in terms of the summary execution now of Anwar al-Awlaki and at least one other American citizen by the Obama administration, a similar drone strike that killed an American citizen back in 2002 by the Bush administration, the authorization of torture and the summary arrest, detention, and prolonged abuse of Jose Padilla, another U.S. citizen, that was all justified by the AUMF. The AUMF was just renewed earlier this year by Congress to extend into the foreseeable future and to provide once again for the open-ended detention of anybody who is designated an unlawful enemy combatant by presidential decree. And that means that that is the legal framework under which the government of the United States is operating right now. The Constitution has been formally suspended. They've not used the phrase "the Constitution is suspended," just as in, say, 64, 46, 20 B.C., just as in the era when you had Marcus Tullius Cicero beheaded on the orders of Marcus Antony, a member of the Triumvirate, because Cicero was considered an enemy of the enemy of the public. The 12 tablets of the law were invoked. The Roman Constitution, if you will, was invoked by the ruling elite that had nothing but disdain for it and didn't use it in any sense as a restraint on what the government can do. That's the same kind of a situation we're in right now. The Constitution is effectively dead letter when the President of the United States can order the summary execution of anybody he considers to be worthy of killing.
And would that mean that it'd be perfectly all right to have a phony attack on the World Trade Center when we need an excuse to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq? How many people can the president kill? 1, 2, 5, 3,000? Is it possible that George Bush was somehow involved? I'm not suggesting it was, but or maybe it was Dick Cheney. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Why don't we go right ahead?
One of the things I find most grotesque about this, and I adverted to it just a few minutes ago, is the way that the supposedly conservative right in this country has reacted to this news. If conservatism means anything of use for our present circumstances, it means that you are suspicious toward government power. You believe that government power must be limited by law and that it must be used only to enhance and expand freedom. That's John Locke's definition of how law should function. The purpose of law is to expand and not to limit freedom. And freedom, of course, can't exist if government is free to do anything it pleases. The people running government are emancipated from any restraint by law. That's Lenin's formula for government. Power without limit, resting directly on force, unlimited by laws, absolutely unrestrained by rules. That was his definition of dictatorship. Unfortunately, what passes for conservatism today is much more akin to Lenin's view of how government should function than James Madison's view. Madison's view was that the powers of the general government, or what we call the federal government, were few and defined, and that they are limited to certain specific objects. Perhaps those limitations could have been tinkered with and tweaked somewhat to make them more docile and, of course, more effectively revocable. That's a big part of the equation in the American view of government. Everything we delegate to the government can be revoked. But when it comes to the exercise of lethal force by government, too many conservatives today are utterly uncritical. As far as they're concerned, there's nothing more lovely than the spectacle of government killing somebody that the government tells us is our enemy. I don't see how that is any way, shape, form, or sense conservative. But that, unfortunately, is the prevailing doctrine today. That's why people like Ron Paul, who are seen as skeptical, and who are skeptical about that exercise of power, are routinely and ritualistically bashed for bringing up the Constitution and the fact that obedience to the Constitution is not optional in our system. He's insisting that the Constitution has to be obeyed, that we should understand it, we should require that our government be limited by it, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He's not a situational constitutionalist like so many other people who call themselves conservative. And unfortunately, he seems to be sui generis. There's only one of him. I think Rand Paul is a worthy figure as well. He's not quite as strict in terms of his adherence to the Constitution as his father, in my opinion. Some people might disagree with that assessment. But unfortunately, too often, what passes for conservatism today is just reflexive jingoism, where any element of skeptical intelligence is suspended when you're dealing with government at its most...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney William is talking about the fact that people really don't appreciate the Constitution. We either have a Constitution we abide by, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter whether you think that the government should have a right to go out and kill terrorists, it is against the Constitution, and American citizens are protected by the Constitution. Whether they're guilty or innocent, they are entitled to a trial by jury. And you say, well, there's just no way we could capture these people. Of course you could capture these people. I mean, they were able to capture Osama bin Laden, a defenseless man, and we're told that they just shot him and they just killed him. And they won't even show us the pictures because they say, well, if we showed the pictures, it would, of course, inflame people throughout the world and there'd be retaliation against... Nobody seemed to be upset about pictures of Saddam Hussein with a noose around his neck. And so why are they so concerned about not showing the pictures of Osama bin Laden? Or is it perhaps maybe they don't have any pictures of Osama bin Laden? Maybe Osama bin Laden's been dead for half a dozen years, and this whole thing was contrived as a vehicle of drawing attention away from the fact that it's been pointed out that Osama bin Laden's long-term birth certificate that he presented was obviously fraudulent, and they had to shift our attention away from that, so they suddenly found Osama bin Laden and sent a team in to murder a defenseless man. But be that as it may, certainly the Constitution does allow you to kill Osama bin Laden, perhaps in a gunfight, but he didn't have a gun. He just put up no resistance. They simply murdered him, and you say, well, he was a bad guy, and maybe that's true. Or maybe the man they murdered wasn't Osama bin Laden. We don't know. All we know is what the government tells us. Remember, that's the same government that told us that the Gulf of Tonkin incident occurred and sent 58,000 Americans to fight in a no-win war, only to tell us 30 or 40 years later that Gulf of Tonkin incident never occurred. And nobody was ever held responsible. Can we rejuvenate those 58,000 American brave fighting men we sent overseas? Somebody's responsible, but nobody is ever held responsible. And we cannot indiscriminately kill people just because we don't like them. They're entitled to be arrested, and certainly if you if they may be trying to escape, why, you might justify using force against them. But we have special forces teams. You can hire people, professionals, who go out and track people down and bring them in for trial. And that's what the idea of mark and reprisal is all about. Isn't it amazing that only Ron Paul discusses that, and nobody else seems to know enough about the Constitution to understand that was put in there for just such a situation as this? Now, before we go on, William, I want you to get your web page out. I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with your writings, and then I want you to tell them how they can find your PayPal button.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My main outlet is still my blog, Pro Libertate. P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E, Pro Libertate, it means for freedom, and it's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. If you do a Google search or use some other search engine and type in my name, William N. Grigg, or William Grigg, chances are Pro Libertate is going to be one of the first returns. If you type in Pro Libertate and Grigg, I'm pretty confident that the first return will be the Pro Libertate blog. I try to update it a couple of times a week as my schedule permits. I'm also involved, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, with Republic Magazine, which is found at republicmagazine.com. Republicmagazine.com. It's published pretty much every other month. It's one of these startups that's only been around for a couple of years and it's growing very well. It's a sibling publication to Survivalist Magazine, which is actually growing by leaps and bounds right now. Owing to the perilous and freighted times in which we live, there's a lot of interest in survivalism, being self-sufficient, urban homesteading, things of that sort. Those are subjects we cover in Republic Magazine as well, but Survivalist Magazine, which, as I mentioned, is sort of an offshoot or a sibling of Republic, focuses on that specifically. RepublicMagazine.com is the portal that your listeners can visit if they're interested in seeing not only what we have by way of videos and web commentary, but also back issues. You can subscribe digitally. You can receive the print edition as well. That information is all at republicmagazine.com. You mentioned as well that I do have a PayPal account, and the PayPal button for that account is accessible at the bottom of every essay that is published on Pro Libertate. The current essay, for those who are interested in checking it out, is a somewhat adventurous piece that uses as a literary device this remarkable film, and I think I mentioned this on our program, on your program before, Dr. Stan, called Inception. I want to talk just very briefly about that film and the literary device. Inception is a science fiction film, a science fiction premise, based on the idea of a technology that would allow people to enter, if you will, invade the dreams of targeted people so as to manipulate their subconscious in order to steal corporate secrets or other information. The idea is that you could have a whole team of people who are involved in, if you will, dream heists. They would enter the person's subconscious in dreams and act as confidence men in order to manipulate them at the subconscious level in order to get them to disclose information, or, in the case of what is called an inception, to plant an idea that will control their perceptions of reality and make them operate in a certain way that's to the advantage of whatever interest these operatives represent. An inception involves planting an idea, and the idea will continue to grow. And I talk about this as, if you will, one of the most compelling pop culture analogs or metaphors for what has happened since 1913 in this country, when, at the inception of the Federal Reserve, this malignant idea that fiat money can be used to generate unlimited prosperity was planted, and it has grown, it has metastasized. It has gotten to the point now where the dream architecture, that's an expression for the film, the dream architecture of this elaborate pseudo-reality is starting to collapse, and there's nothing they can do to prevent it from collapsing. There's a point in the film where these dream architects have invaded the mind of a very gifted young corporate leader who's about to inherit a large energy concern, and they want to plant in his mind a suggestion that he break up the company so that his corporate rival can profit. And in order to do this, they have to go several layers deep within their dream. there are different layers where you plant these suggestions, and they grow through each succeeding layer until the action that is desired comes to fruition. But at a certain point, the dream starts to collapse in on itself. We're at that point right now where we're several layers deep into this artificial reality, and it's collapsing in very rapid and very catastrophic fashion. And it has to collapse. In order for us to recover our bearings on reality, we have to be roused from our dream state. In the movie, people can be roused from these deep dream states through what is called a kick. And you would literally tip somebody over so that he would catch his balance and wake up. Everybody's had that sensation where you're dreaming, for instance, that you've fallen off a cliff and you catch yourself and you wake yourself up. That's a very familiar sensation. Well, that's called a kick in the film. And we've had several kicks just since 2008 or so. Actually, they started earlier than that. But there's been an effort to keep us sedated and keep us under. But I think that they're running out of sedative. And so we've reached a point now where reality, which of course is non-negotiable, is asserting itself in very unpleasant ways. That's the essay which is at the top of the page, if you will, of Pro Libertate, called The Dream is Collapsing. And at the bottom of that essay, once again, there's a PayPal button that people can use if they're interested in donating to my efforts. I am so grateful to you, Dr. Stan, and immensely grateful to your audience for the help that I have received and that my family has received. This has been an invigorating and frequently terrifying enterprise that I've been involved in, and it's a real blessing, and I recognize that it's a blessing of divine providence that so many people have been so generous to us. So thank you so much, and thank you to all of the people in your audience who have been so generous to us as well.
Well, I'm glad that you have had the support, and I just hope you'll be able to continue writing, because I think that your ideas are very important. We're involved in a battle of ideas, and we're really involved in a battle for the soul of America, and to try to get the American people to think. And basically, people are waking up. They're waking up one at a time, but I think your very clear presentation of these concepts of individual freedom under God are vitally important in this truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. You go right ahead, William.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. When we're talking about the Enabling Act, which is used now to justify all these policies, the so-called authorization for the use of military force, it's interesting to point out that from time to time, the executive branch will consult with some member of its harem, its seraglio of legal experts, in order to find out exactly what formula they should use in order to justify the unconstitutional use, the patently illegal use of these powers that have been given to the president. You'll remember we discussed this at some length a few months ago when Mr. Obama decided that he wanted to commit the United States to war in Libya, but he couldn't find some way of justifying it as a defensive war, and he certainly wasn't going to condescend to use the constitutionally prescribed method of asking Congress to declare war. So he enlisted the help of some of his trained monkeys in the Justice Department to concoct the most ludicrous confabulation of arguments to justify the attack on Libya as an exercise of the NATO alliance's inherent power to stabilize the United Nations. What happened, of course, is that the Arab League was bribed. These feculent dictators that composed the Arab League were literally bribed in order to petition the Security Council of the United Nations to authorize a no-fly zone for humanitarian reasons. And this, of course, was considered to be binding on the United States government, because one of our chief, if not our paramount, foreign policy interest is to ensure that the Security Council of the United Nations is prestigious and respected. That means that we have to use the United States military in order to enforce the dictates. You had people in the Justice Department who cobbled together, this risible document that was supposedly a legal defense of something that is manifestly illegal. Well, something similar happened with respect to Anwar al-Awlaki, this executive-ordered assassination. From the Washington Post today, we read the following. The Justice Department wrote a secret memorandum authorizing the lethal targeting of Anwar al-Awlaki, the American-born radical cleric who was killed by a U.S. drone strike Friday, according to administration officials. Incidentally, it's so fascinating how all of these stories are, if not unsourced, they're sourced to conveniently anonymous figures. And that, of course, represents or is a perfect example of the fact that we live in a society defined by a one-way mirror. The mirror, or the side of the mirror, rather, that we're on is perfectly opaque. You know, we cannot see what our rulers are doing. And on the other side, it's perfectly transparent. They claim the right to see everything we do. You know, the one-way mirror serves their interests here. And from time to time, somebody who is probably a lower-level functionary will distribute talking points to a complacent media who will convey them to us as if they were somehow revealed and holy decrees. And that's what's going on here. The document, that is to say, the secret memorandum justifying this killing, was produced following a review of the legal issues raised by striking a U.S. citizen and involved senior lawyers from across the administration. There was no dissent about the legality of killing Al-Awlaki, the official said. What that means, of course, is that they were unanimous here in endorsing a crime. The fact that there was no dissent illustrates that there is not so much as a single righteous man. It was like Abraham negotiating with Jehovah over the fate of the cities of the plain. You know, you basically get Lot and his family out because there's nobody left in that city who's righteous. What constitutes due process in this case is a due process in war, said one of the officials, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss closely held deliberations within the administration, which, of course, is not true because we're not at war. War has not been declared. And even in war, this would not constitute due process as well because he's not a uniformed combatant and he never had command authority. Unlike Obama, Mr. Obama has command authority when he's ordering the illegal use of drone strikes that have killed hundreds of innocent people in Pakistan and Yemen and elsewhere. The administration has faced a legal challenge and public criticism for targeting Al-Awlaki, who was born in New Mexico because of constitutional protections afforded U.S. citizens. The memorandum may represent an attempt to resolve, at least internally, a legal debate over whether a president can order the killing of U.S. citizens overseas as a counterterrorism measure. Well, we'll never know that, will we? Because these deliberations, once again, are shrouded in secrecy. The operation to kill Al-Awlaki involves CIA and military assets under CIA control, which, by the way, is the same thing. Since you have General Petraeus now taking control over the CIA, you're basically seeing this vertically integrated monolith. As one of the people who created it described it, it's an industrial-strength killing machine. And it includes not only the CIA and the Pentagon, as we found out a couple of weeks ago, but the NYPD, the country's largest and probably most notoriously corrupt police force, and an effort was made to inveigle the LAPD into taking part in this as well. I would be surprised if the LAPD and the Chicago Police Department, the Philadelphia Police Department, I'd be surprised if they aren't part of this apparatus as well. The operation to kill, forgive me, a second American killed in Friday's attack was Samir Khan, a driving force behind Inspire, the English language magazine produced by Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. An administration official said the CIA did not know Khan was with Al-Awlaki, but they also considered Khan a belligerent whose presence near the target would not have stopped the attack. This guy's a magazine publisher. Again, he's not a soldier. He's not somebody who's involved in a command capacity. He was not identified as being behind any specific act of terrorism. He is somebody who has engaged in rhetoric in which he says that it's a legitimate and supposedly worthwhile and commendable thing to attack U.S. military personnel, which is not terrorism. It's not a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. But it is not terrorism to attack armed emissaries of the world's most powerful military when they are fighting abroad. It's a horrible thing, but it's not terrorism. Nonetheless, he's considered a belligerent because of the opinions he expressed. This is an American citizen who was murdered. No other word is suitable. He was murdered. He was assassinated. Those two words are functional synonyms. And this is the sort of thing that is supposedly justified because some parted-up courtesan in the Legal Affairs Department of the Justice of State Department or the CIA scribbled some thoughts on a cocktail napkin and thereby created a permission slip that allowed the President of the United States to defy the Constitution and statutes and executive orders and the law of nations going all the way back into the midst of antiquity and order the murder of an American citizen without due process of law. That's where we are right now, and it's perfectly terrifying.
It really is. And I think the American people have to realize the implications of this, because it means that anybody who is critical of the administration could be considered a terrorist. And you say, oh, well, I mean, but those are bad guys. This could never affect me. But are you absolutely certain? We've established the president. It's only a matter now of how far they go. Well, William, you've got three minutes to finish the program. Incidentally, have you ever got the latest newsletter done?
As a matter of fact, I sent it yesterday.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.